Bless him, Lord.
Good to be here tonight.
Yes.
I'm glad Lord gave me a good place to go.
Yes, sir.
And I got a message that I had two Sunday, and I was going to preach this one, and the Lord told me to preach this other one. That's rough when that happens. I mean, you can do it, but when the Lord does that to you, you're all ready for this one, and then you preach another, but the Lord took care of it.
Amen, brother.
I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to give you a little bit of what I am going to preach, but just a little bit. But over in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and verse 13, it says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren.
Right.
He that loveth not his brother abideth
Amen.
In death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Right.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren."
Yes.
Verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Yes.
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things."
Yeah.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
Yeah.
"And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which is he has given us." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for you speaking to me, Lord, and I can listen and hear what you had to say. I ask you, God, that you might bless this, Lord. It might be a help to somebody. I pray, God, it'd help me. I ask you, God, to lead, guide, and direct in Jesus' name. If there be one out there somewhere lost and unknown without God, they might get saved in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I looked at that, and it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." I got to think about that. You know, there's some things you just can't help but to marvel at.
Right.
I mean, it's just some things you look at and you see going on, and it just blows your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you take how churches nowadays, it's not about salvation. It's not about preaching the word. It's the business. It's the business nature of Christianity.
Right.
They got a business. They're working business-wise.
Right.
And they have competition between the churches.
Right.
You ought to love your church. You ought to say you've got the best church. This is the best church. And if I'm up here, it's the best church for me. And I love this church. If I'm at my church, well, that's my best church down there. Yeah. I mean, if you don't love your church, there's something wrong with
yes,
you.
Right.
I mean, you ought to love your church and love the people. I mean, he said here, you know, you shut your bowels up. You need to help and love one another and
God
do. But, you know, it just makes me marvel to think and see. I mean, even back when I was a child at the Lutheran church, you know, they wasn't right or whatever. But the thing is, the people, you know, they would get together and have dinners and stuff and do things. I mean, to this day and time, all you got is churches being a business.
That's
they're
right.
Business-minded. They're not worried about the people in the community or whatever. They want to build a big church. They want to be able to say, "Hey, I got the biggest building." And over there, the Bible says in Mark 13, it says that as he went out into the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones that and what buildings are here. The building doesn't matter. I mean, Jesus Christ is in the church. The people the church. That's my family. That's you and unity. That building don't mean nothing.
Right.
I mean, you can have a little bitty a building that you get to put in your backyard if God's there and God's in it. You have church in there. God depends on you. I mean, when you come to church and you hadn't prayed and you hadn't listened to God or read your Bible, how are you going to have church? You didn't come ready for church. I mean, it just blows my mind. I marvel at these things, seeing how people in the churches today, they come and they like, you got to give them everything. You got to feel them full. You got to give them the Holy Ghost. You got to put it all in them, and then you might get a smile out of them. They don't get up and shout and praise the Lord no more. I mean, I'd pass out down there if everybody starts shouting. I mean, they'll say amen and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't get that. I mean, you wanted to have the preacher pass out. I mean, everybody starts shouting, praise God. I'm telling you what, he'd preach him to death. I mean, it's good when people were amen and you. I mean, man, when you're looking out there and everybody's got the sad face and their mouth hanging down and you look like you're just ready to throw up. I mean, good. How you think we feel?
Amen.
I mean, we up here trying to preach. I mean, I just marvel at this thing.
Yeah.
Like Joel Osteen gets on there and smiles from ear to ear, and everybody just flocks and 20,000 into the building. And I mean, here's a man of God preaching the word of God, and he's preaching it with power and authority. And you can't hardly get people to come.
Amen.
People don't want to come. They don't want to hear the word of God. And you get them if they come in, they get mad and leave. They don't come back no more. They say. They got saved, but you don't ever see them. You couldn't find them if you had to.
Right.
I'm telling you what, if all the people got saved and living was in church when I first got saved, they'd have had to rebuild that church four times.
Right.
I mean, because that people just come in and they make professions after profession, but they don't make possession.
That's right.
The heart is the root and the mouth is the fruit.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, but I marvel at the business nature of Christianity and the buildings that they build, these magnificent buildings. And you go down there to Waxhaw, they got these big, magnificent churches.
Yeah.
I mean, so big and everything. Where's God at? They can't find God nowhere. I mean, they don't even preach out of the King James Bible. I mean, I tell you what, you get down there and they don't want you to say nothing. It tickles me. Sometimes there's another church, I don't know where it is, but they'll get up on the town and hold banners up and stuff. And I told my people, I said, we're going to go up there and preach one day. And they're all for it. I said, we'll see. We'll see when you get up there and people's cussing you and giving you. They done found that out. We was holding up signs about abortions down there one day. And the people's come by cussing us and giving us dirty gestures. And they just cut. It's just unreal.
Yes,
the hate. That's the day. The day that you and the people hates God.
That's
they,
right.
It's not. They hate you if you even resemble a Christian.
Right.
You know, you come into church and it's. It's just, I marvel at this thing, how people come to church and they just want to look like the world when they come into church. I want to look different.
Right.
I want to be different from the world.
Right.
I don't want to, they come in and they, they come to church like with their pants. I don't know why you buy pants it's all cut up for. They got their knees hanging out like somebody ripped them. My goodness, when I was a kid, my mama would sew patches on it.
Right.
And that would embarrass me if they had
a
little patch on it. You know, I didn't want that, but I sure didn't want no holes. And now they tear their knees out. I mean, good grief, mine tore out the rump the other day and I threw them away. I don't want them no more. I throw them away. I mean, why do I want tore up? I mean, the Bible talks about sowing good things on the back. I'm telling you what, people, I marvel at just how stupid people are anymore.
Right.
Just to be honest with you. I mean, they're just stupid.
Yeah.
And they're marketing strategies. They're getting these strategies up there so that they can market the church out. Oh, come down here. We got the biggest church. And we now listen to this. I heard this. I had a man tell me he went to this church. He said they got fake walls. And when there's a lot of people there, they move the walls out. You know, move them back. And then when there's not many people there, they move, they'll make it small so it looks bigger. Now, what kind of mess is that? Now, I had a guy tell me that. I don't see it, but the guy told me that he went and did it. That's how they did it. They meet you in the parking lot, and they usher you in. They want you to feel friendly. They want everything friendly, you know, user-friendly. Let's make it friendly. Don't hurt nobody's feelings now. Don't say hell. For goodness sake, don't say hell, preacher.
That's right.
I mean, you'll hurt their feelings. Yeah. And they'll say you up here cussing. Yeah. And yet they let the TV cuss on their end. I tell you what, I started preaching Sunday by now. But I tell you what, God sent a visitor there Sunday. And God, I preached what God wanted me to. And I hope that boy comes back. He was coming to start when I went down there. That boy.
Yeah.
And God, I hope he comes back. I don't know why he left. But this thing just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, growing up. And I was 18, 19 when I got saved.
Yeah.
But we grew up in church.
Yeah.
The man preaching the word of God. I mean, he wasn't afraid of nobody. He
That's
got up
right.
and preached.
That's right.
But now you got them. They get up there and they don't want to say nothing. They smile all the time and everything's good and you're going to have money and you're going to do all this. Well, I've been saved. I'd be 47 years this year in August. And I tell you what, God's took care of me. God has fed me. God's blessed me. But I tell you what, I don't think God can't trust me with money. I like to spend it, preacher.
Well,
I mean, I spend it. Bad. I get some money, but I spend it. I like to spend money. But I tell you one thing, I could take it and the money they waste at these big churches and all this stuff.
That's right.
I could use that money for the word of God and for missionaries and stuff. I'm telling you, I marvel at how much money they take in and how much what they get with all that and the strategies and their lights and the smoke there. It's like they did that junk when I was out in the honky tonks and run around in bars and all that stuff. They had lights flashing and smoke. I mean, that's what they're getting
Amen.
At so they can get people pumped up in the flesh. And some people say, oh man, we got a good church. Oh, he's such a great preacher. He don't ever say, I'm telling you what, if you get out and preach, buddy, they cuss you out.
Oh, you ain't going but one time.
Oh, that'd be it. I let it roll.
Yeah.
I'd preach you everything I had.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, I just, they'd probably run me out on a rail.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, just think about it. As long as you've been in church, and y'all all been to church a long time, think about how things have changed so much. And I just marvel at this. I mean, it makes me, I think, my goodness, the way things have changed and how people are, you know, they're so involved with worldly things and they want the speakers and they like these big successful men who writes these big books and got all these books, you know, and they're so smart and you go over there and listen to them and when they ain't preaching, they're saying stuff what they wrote in the book. Oh my gosh, it just goes over my head.
Amen.
I think, what the world's that got to do with Jesus
Amen.
Christ? What's that got to do with being saved and born again? I mean, I don't care who so-and-so was over there who found the big sword and went out there and chopped somebody. It's just one thing after another. I don't care who the general was in the Israel army over there when they had this, what, 6-day war or whatever. I don't care about all. But yet they make money doing that and they get up there with the
That's
books
it,
and they
the
try
thing.
To sell the books.
Yeah.
I marvel at this. It just blows my mind.
Yes.
I come back, preacher, to when I was in the first grade. I just started the school, and it'd be raining outside.
Yeah.
And I heard they had a Bible class.
Yeah.
That woman, I mean, God forgive me, but that was the ugliest woman I ever seen in my life. I mean, she loved God. She'd get in, but she'd have a little Bible, and she'd give them Bibles, that little Bibles out. And I'd see that woman, and you know, but I'm telling you, she loved us and she prayed for us. And all them kids there said it would come in. If you would come in, you know, then she'd pray for you and everything. I'd go in and get out of the rain, get out of the cold.
Yeah.
But you know, I can remember that woman and read the King James Bible to her.
Amen.
I remember that,
brother. Yes, sir.
That was the first grade. But, you know, I got a lot more I could say and everything, but it's like a. application, you know, for church anymore. You can't just come to church and get saved. It's like a job interview, and they want to ask you this, can ask you that. What happened to Jesus saves? I mean, what happened to Jesus saves your soul and cleans you up and makes you a fit person for this world and makes you to go out and you tell people about Christ? They want you to be some big shot in the church or something. But I marvel at the lack of the concern of Christianity. Lack of concern. There's no concern. Where is the concern? They're more concerned about the money. They're more concerned about the magnificent big churches.
Yeah.
Is the preacher wearing a $1,000 suit or whatever? I'd wear it if I had one. Buy me one, I'll wear it. can you imagine $1,000? I go down there and get them at Goodwill from Value Village for $10.
Yeah.
Hey, they wear just as good or probably better than them $1,000 ones. I don't know. But I just marvel at how things are this day and time. It just blows my mind. And how they don't preach on salvation. They get up there and tell stories and jokes this book, God is not a joking matter.
Amen.
I mean, it's a holy matter. It's a principles of God. This is the book of God. The words, he says, these are his words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word's with God, and the Word was. This is God's Word. And I got God's Word on it. I just had that on my heart. And,
God bless you.
I marvel at how easy it is to say no to God. How easy. I mean, he's going to send you to hell. And I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah.
If you're lost and you stand before God at the judgment, at the great white throne, or if you died before, but you're going to stand at the great white throne, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew. You say, well, I went to church all my life. My mom and daddy drug me there. And I went to church and went. But you didn't know Jesus Christ. He come to you, but you said no to him.
Right.
You turned and walked away. Where are you going to be at? Well, the rapture is going to take. We're going to get out of here. I just feel it. I mean, I might be here I won't be here no 100 years. My mother-in-law is 91 years old, I think it is. And I won't make it that far. I tell you what, she lives with us, and I come through there this morning. She's in there just praying. I just sit in there and listen to her a while.
Amen.
I mean, I listened to her a while. I never heard my mom and daddy pray like that. But I mean, it's a blessing.
God bless you.
I mean, I thank God for that. If you got a praying mom and daddy, you better thank God for it.
Amen, brother. Good preaching. Tell it like it.